it's not me. No matter what the options are, there is no lose, there is no fail. Let's go. Seem like life go lightning speed. Slow it on down, baby, just to breathe. It's cold outside, I just sleep. Got here late, like just to leave. Wings on my shirt and I cannot fly. Asked to I love her, but I cannot lie. Open up the door like can I ride. Heart made of stone, I cannot cry. Hand on the glass, I can feel the rain. You don't wanna fight, not feel your pain. But I gotta go hard, gotta go far. That don't mean that we gotta fall apart. I'ma stand tall for all of us. Cause fate on the phone and you calling us. We came from the ground and we crawling up. You can feel it in your fist, we can ball it up.
If the sky turns black, it don't matter. We know the sun is coming up. We're so strong, it won't shatter. We were born to run.
Oh, yes, 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 yes,
no,
yes.
No,
yes,
no,
yes,
no,
yes,
no,
yes,
no,
yes.
No.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Or to all you first-time listeners, this is the show that you should be listening to every moment of the day. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you're, in fact, listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show! That is us.
Wake up call.
I am Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
How y'all doing? How you doing, Carolyn?
I'm doing good. Like, I recovered a little bit over Labor Day weekend.
That's
got
good.
That extra day. Whoa, an extra day. I hope you all didn't miss Labor Day weekend. And if you had to work on Labor Day weekend...
That's beyond the point then, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know what to say about that.
You're not supposed to work on Labor Day, even though they call it a Labor Day.
I did work on Labor Day, but it was on my own stuff. Does that count? Like, no one's, like, telling me to do it,
you
know?
Yeah,
No slave labor.
No slave... It's you get to do whatever you want to do on that day, really, is what it comes down to.
Some people might choose to work, though. What about those people? Are they, like, workaholics?
They just have stuff to do.
Yeah. And I'm like, all these stores are having Labor Day sales. So, like, what about the people that work at the stores? There's no such thing as Labor Day for them.
There's no such thing as like a break for anyone that works retail. I've come to realize that.
Yeah.
If you work at a Best Buy, you work at a Target, you work at a Hardee's or whatever it is, you don't have breaks. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You just have to, you know, it's weird how that is.
Because
you got to work on those you got to work on the holidays, because that's when all
the
civilians,
most important sales.
Yeah, that's when the civilians are free to roam about, you know. So
it's like the opposite of a school.
But literally, Labor Day is supposed
now
to be what?
To
Labor
Day
is the holiday for what, Carolyn? You should know this. I don't know what it is.
For workers.
For all workers, right?
Yeah, labor. What if you actually had a baby on Labor Day?
So should it be,
like, then it's
so
like...
So literal of a day.
Today is Labor Day.
Yeah. Have Labor Day. It's one of those awesome moments.
Yeah.
But, like, so literally everything should be closed today then.
I mean, if you want to be technical, yeah. But, of course, everyone's got to make that money.
Everyone's got to take that opportunity to make that money.
So at the same time, the people that do have to work retail... They at least get money for it.
It's that time.
Oh my gosh. I hear the music. And what does that mean? It means a Carolyn News segment. Woo! All right. Next weekend is a big weekend for Joe and I. And for almost anybody in the comic book industry on the East Coast.
And the whole world.
All right. Baltimore Comic Con is September 7th and 8th. My goodness. So on Saturday, it's from 10 to 7, and on Sunday, it's from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. This is all at the Baltimore Convention Center, 1 West Pratt Street in Baltimore, Maryland. You can find Curl's Studio, that would be Joe and I, at Artist Alley, Table A99. Hot. A99. Find us there. And we'll have a whole bunch of fun stuff. We'll have all of our books and some prints and maybe some other fun goodies. And in addition to having a table, two books that I'm in are nominated for Harvey Awards, and one book that Joe's in is nominated for Harvey Award, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Nominated. We can say that we've been nominated.
We are nominated.
We're nominated. That means...
We're nominated.
That means we're like, just like, you know...
We're a part of a group of nominees.
Like everyone in the Oscars who were just nominated. Like Rooney Mara. She was just nominated, but she didn't win. We're like Rooney Mara. We're just as awesome as Rooney Mara.
We could win. We don't know yet.
That's
until
true.
Saturday
that's true.
Night.
At this point, we're just as awesome.
We're
going
nominees.
Yeah.
So, District Comics, An Unconventional History of Washington, D.C. is nominated for Best Anthology, and Joe and I have a story in there called Spiteini.
That's right.
It's pretty awesome. Joe, what do you think about being nominated for your first Harvey Award?
Being nominated for writing in general was always a big surprise, you know, because growing up I never thought I'd be focused on writing, but, you know, you take that time to focus on being a writer in the comic book field, and I think it's pretty awesome. And I really took care of that story, the Spiteini story, like... You know, we went method on it, so a lot of people say they enjoyed it. I'm never really a good judge. I just like the story to be honest and fun. And
so you're happy with that nomination? That's pretty exciting, though. I mean,
I'm sort of shocked. I'm almost like in that world where I'm like, is this? I'm like in my head. I'm like, is this a big thing? Should I be excited about it? What should I be really acting like? I'm not sure, but I'm there to represent, and maybe I might have a speech ready.
Or Matt and Vicky might.
Yeah.
So, by the way, Matt edited the District Comics. And also, I was a part of Team Cul-de-Sac. You might have heard me talk about it, mention it several times on this radio show. Team Cul-de-Sac, cartoonist, draw the line at Parkinson's. Guess what? It is nominated for 4 nominations. 4 categories.
4.
That's pretty impressive. I mean, that's like a sweep.
That is a sweep.
Like, and I will say that District Comics...
A leg sweep.
District Comics and Team Cul-de-Sac are both nominated in one of the same categories, Best Anthology.
So basically you're up against yourself.
Like, I cancel myself out. Like, I feel like it, on one end, it's like a really awesome, cool thing.
But if you lose, it's a double loss.
Oh, God, that's horrible. Well, that's what happens when you cancel yourself out. I feel like multiple times nominees are nominated for the same thing. And so then they're just like, oh, well, I'm going to vote for someone else because everyone thinks that Peter Jackson's going to win.
Yeah.
Like, anyway... And also, the other 3 nominations, it's nominated for Special Award in Humor in Comics, Special Award for Excellence in Presentation, and Best Biographical, Historical, or Journalistic Presentation. That sounds so regal.
It's a good word.
So, also, in addition to the Harvey Awards, on Saturday, September 8th, Room 305, I will be speaking in... the panel, self-publishing. You can do it!
Yay, self-publishing.
So I'll be there. I was asked to join that panel. And also, on Sunday, September 9th. So that first one was on Saturday. Then on Sunday, I have another panel. Sunday at Room 301. Team Cul-de-Sac panel. Woo!
Cool.
Yeah. We're going to be sweeping the nation.
You'll be all over the place.
Oh, I didn't put the times down. I should have done that. I don't know the times of the panels, but
guess
I will...
just going to have to find out, huh?
You know what? I will update the website, and you will find out. It's at curls-studio.com.
Excellent.
Or you can read the program guide in Baltimore Comic-Con, but that sounds pretty impressive. We got some other news, too, besides Baltimore. Joe and I will both be appearing at Artisphere on September 12th, the evening of September 12th. For those of you that don't know, there's a Magic Bullet exhibit at Artisphere, and that is also, from what I hear... the grand opening day of the Andy Warhol exhibit. So hopefully a lot of people will turn out for that and catch up with Magic Bullet at the same time. So that's pretty awesome.
And we're going to try to make a historic book then too. Not just historic as in, wow, this is historic. But it's going to be a huge book. But not a book that's going to be huge. It's going to be an amazing book.
It's going to be amazing.
We're going to attempt to make a book in our time there.
And then we'll have it at SPX, which is the following weekend.
Yep.
September 14th and 15th. Small Press Expo. Be there.
The biggest small press expo of all time. Of all time.
Also,
of all time.
I just want to like get really personal with y'all and tell you that that same day that we have the Artisphere appearance, I have a dentist appointment in the morning, so my teeth will be sparkling. Joe.
Let's hope so. We're going to be numb.
Can you put on the special effect?
Okay, ready? 3, 2.
So my teeth will be sparkling. So, don't you all want to see that? September 12th. The evening of September 12th. Join us at Artisphere. The museum will be there rocking the Magic Bullet. Rocking everything, and I might even do a chalkboard drawing. Be there, and you can witness it all live.
Yes.
In person. Stay away from the internet. View things in real life. 3D. Come on, people.
Yeah.
Live life. Don't just sit at home in your basement, dingy, with the spiders crawling around, and it's all dark, and you're like, I'm gonna look at some girls on the internet. Don't do that. Look at girls in real life.
Unless you're gonna go to my website.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless you go
you could
to,
go to astrayproductions.com or you can go check to, out all the hotness.
Or the goastray.tumblr.com. Updated constantly.
And for those of you really plan ahead, New York Comic Con is October 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th. It's a 4-day show. It should be amazing. Also November 9th, Southern Maryland Comic Con. Woo! And I'm sure we'll have more stuff coming up, but this is the crazy fall time where there's convention after convention. And I will say also November 10th, there's the Parkinson's Walk. It's free to walk! And you can join Team Cul-de-Sac and raise money. So far, I have raised $25.
Nice.
I will have to say, like on one end, it doesn't seem like much.
I'll give you $25 right now.
Really?
Sure.
Cool. You can actually sign up. And then what happens if you give money to the team? You can see the thermometer go up online.
I figure that's the best way. I'm still not sure if I'll be able to make that walk, but I'll dedicate something to that.
Because if you think about it,
I'll write a song.
Seriously, 25.
I can write a song.
You should. Can you write like a Team Cul-de-Sac song? That'd be so awesome. See, I will say this. Okay. Like, working with charities can be hard sometimes.
Oh, I'm not going to write a song as in a Zooey Deschanel New Girl type of, I'll write
hey
a song.
Girl.
It'll probably be a rocking song of some sort.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like, I will say, this is an awesome thing about Team Cul-de-Sac. Like, I'm super proud to be a part of the team, and it's the best charity experience that I've ever witnessed. Like, I know Chris Sparks has really pulled a lot of heavy lifting on this, and he deserves a lot of credit. But, like, just knowing that we're getting so much done. Like, Team Cul-de-Sac raised over $100,000 last year.
Nice.
That's pretty amazing. So, like, I know $25 is not, like, a grand amount so far. And also, I need to be campaigning more to raise more money. But at the same time...
Lobbying. You should be lobbying for it.
Lobbying. But, at the same time, I really appreciate that people were like, hey, let's give money. Because that's a good cause, you know? So, stuff like that, it matters. And also, I will say that the person who donated... works at One More Page bookstore. So, if you're ever in Arlington, check out One More Page Books and More. And they also were the same location that we had the Team Cul-de-Sac book signing.
Cool.
So, their support. And so, that's pretty awesome. But yeah, I think I might actually donate $25 myself, too.
What is that, really?
Because, that's average dinner or like a couple pizzas, you know, like it's I don't have a problem giving $25, and also, you know, it's good to see that thermometer rise, man.
Yeah.
I think it's a good visual to show like how much money you have, you know what I mean, to be like a thermometer.
You got to.
What if people had that like with their own income? They're like, oh, look at the thermometer go up. I think people would get excited about saving money.
I think so too.
So, Joe, summer is winding down.
Is that the end of Carolyn's news?
Yeah, I could go on for a while. I could really go on and on, but I want to talk about the summertime and other things.
Well, one thing I feel like... Hold on, here we go. One thing I felt like that we did experience a lot of, or at least that we're getting into now at the end of the summer, now that I've realized this, is that we've been watching a lot of reality TV lately.
Between
watching more than usual, I feel like, because they've all been just coming out all at once. Because you had Ink Masters is brought up.
See, I don't count that as reality TV.
That is a reality show, and also
it's a competition show.
Yeah, but it's still I still put that in the reality show world. That and then Total Divas, and that's a lot of reality for
you
me.
You watched the Total Divas,
but that's still like you watch it too.
I've seen one episode.
I feel like that's
two
a,
episodes.
I feel like that's a lot of reality. Don't try to hide that you're not watching this stuff.
I
trying
didn't
to play
watch
it cool.
The last one.
Then you're trying to play it cool, like you don't do any of this stuff. Like you're not like some sort of hypocrite.
You know what? Honestly, I wouldn't watch it if you don't watch it.
I mean, I wouldn't watch Ink Master if you didn't. I wouldn't watch a lot of stuff if you didn't watch it. But the true fact is that we're watching a lot of that stuff, and it's a unique situation because at the same point, there's other reality shows. Yeah, that like you know. As soon as after the Total Divas is done, and it's obvious that Joe Carabeo would watch Total Divas because it's WWE, it's wrestling related.
Okay, now I just have to say that I know you watched some of it today on the DVR.
I didn't watch, I just watched the replay of it.
Okay, well, I was overhearing it and I didn't watch it. But it really did sound like just a bunch of... And I actually did... I will acknowledge that. The parts of the show that I saw, I didn't think I would like. But I actually thought it was decent.
I've seen you watch Total Divas and you reacted to the... To like even like the next week on Total Divas. And you saw people trip. You're like, oh my God, I feel bad for her. Sucker.
But I'm just saying, from an audio perspective, this is like a muffled audio. I'm not really paying attention, and all I hear is just
muffled
audio.
You're paying attention.
No, I wasn't. I couldn't hear any direct words. Yeah, but all could. I heard was just like, ah!
And that's how ladies sound. That's how little girls sound.
That's seriously all I heard.
That's how little girls sound.
That is how I heard. And so, like, that is that show when you're not paying attention, and it's a muffled sound from, like, a whole distance away.
Yeah, point being what?
I'm just saying that's the audio of that show. You've just described,
one, any group of girls, two, any sorority. Really, that's literally how a group of girls will sound like.
But I will say,
and that's how they talk.
That show,
in a group, not one by one, but in a group, that's how they
are. That show is like actually halfway decent. When I first heard of it, I was just like, oh no, I'm not going to give that a try. And then I did actually watch it.
I will probably not watch any show replay.
No, why would you watch it twice?
That's what I'm saying. It's probably just a once over.
And also, I think there's like moments in there that I'm just like, really?
Like
really?
What? Like what?
Really?
Well, like The Miz? Or like The Miz?
Yeah. No, but like just stuff that, like for example, that girl with the red hair. What's her name? Eve Marie or something?
Yeah, Eva Marie.
Eva Marie. Like she just got engaged. Like, to, I don't really think that like none of the girls even knew about her boyfriend. Like she didn't
see. Look, you're about to break into the gossip right now.
Yeah, I will.
You say you don't pay attention to it. You don't watch it.
I didn't watch it this week. I just heard the little, like the dolphins.
Because they went to Vegas. That's the episode that just happened.
They went to the bachelorette party of Natty Neidhart.
Yeah, Natalia. We call her Natty.
I like Natalia. But like, see, I don't understand why like that other girl was like not disclosing that she had a boyfriend. And then all of a sudden she's engaged, but then she took off her ring to like audition for Fandango.
Because she's trying to get ahead in life, right?
Like I get it, but then I'm also like, really, really.
What does really mean?
Really.
What does that mean to
you? It's like the same thing as SNL had that segment that was just like, I think they actually had the really thing, or they had like some type of saying that was just like really?
On the news, the weekend news update.
Is that the word they used?
Yeah, they had really.
So like basically them and The Miz have the same gimmick of the really.
I don't know who came out with it first.
I don't know.
Probably
either.
Everyone else came up with it first.
It's like a nationwide
like
phenomenon.
Everyone was saying really anyway. You just grab it and make it famous.
Really? The new thing is like...
You're like, oh my God, I can't believe Eva Marie didn't wear her, you know. But see, this is the thing about... This is probably why I watch Total Divas, you know, is because one... It's made by WWE, you know, they executive produce it. And in my head, I'm like, well, since wrestling is fake and they're really good at telling stories in that world, they should be able to make the best reality show. You know what I mean? They know what makes these moments, you know? So I'm like,
maybe that part is scripted.
It's probably the best. Probably the whole thing is freaking scripted.
Because,
you know,
like, I just don't understand how sometimes...
It's pro wrestling. It's all fake. That reality is fake.
Or even like one of the Funkadactyls. The smaller one, she wanted to get fake boobs.
Yeah.
And then she like went around for like a week or whatever wearing her jellies. And then like...
You did watch it. You talk about you didn't pay attention to any of the show or you don't
watch
the
show. No, I did watch it. I said I watched two episodes. I watched the Fandango one and I watched the one where they were had the jellies.
I think you have watched all of them.
No, I haven't seen the first one and the
most
current
one. You did watch the first
one. Well, I haven't seen the most current one.
So you've seen all of them but the one I just watched today.
Yeah, and you never, like, said watch it. So I just heard, like, little voices of, like, and then I did the only line that I fully heard was somebody go, like, she drank way too much that day. Like, she was totally drunk.
Who was that? Who said that?
I don't know.
Is that Bella Twin?
I have no idea.
No, but I think the show, it's a well done show in its genre. I have no problem with it.
Okay, here's another thing that I thought was rigged.
It's all rigged, Carolyn.
No, but like,
it's just as fake as wrestling.
It is, but like, for example,
but they know which buttons
like,
to push.
Exactly.
They're like, oh, he's getting drunk. Let's get him these two drunk.
Like Natalia.
Let's talk about doing too drunk for 5 minutes. That's a whole story.
Who is Natalia? Who is Natalia's boyfriend again?
TJ.
What's his full name? He's a Hart member.
Nah, I forgot his name. It'd feel real bad.
So
it's not
TJ.
Teddy. It's not Teddy Hart.
Wait, so they're both related to the Harts? Is that like?
Like his cousin.
But how close is that? Like,
no, they're not like cousins to each other.
Okay.
Because Jim the Anvil Neidhart is not really the brother of Bret the Hitman. They're like.
So in the family tree, it's not like incest.
No, it's not.
Okay, good. So like TJ, which is Natalia's boyfriend, they've been dating for like over a decade. And
for like 13 years.
They seem really solid. And I like them as a couple. But they have this scene where, like, okay, Natalia says, like, oh, she wants to get married. She wants to, like, make everything, like, really legit. And she wants to have, like, a nice wedding. And TJ's not really into it. He's just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
And she thinks that he's not really spending as much time with her because he's nursing an injury right now. And so, like, Natalia goes lingerie shopping. Of course they do that to, like, show off their body to be like, oh,
see, this
here's
is
my lingerie.
But see, this is what I noticed. Every single episode has something like that. It's like a hidden
way to, like, showcase their bodies.
A hidden way of showcasing bodies and promoting little aspects
yeah.
of, like, where they're going and stuff like that. But yeah. it's of course they do. It's a well-made show.
Yeah, which is fine, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with her in lingerie, and the Bella twin went shopping with her.
Why do people not want to see? They
get
work,
their lingerie.
They work out real well for a reason.
For that purpose, you know? Like, they want to show that
you're not going
to
work out real hard if you have and go nowhere with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But basically, like, Natalia, they show a scene of her trying to, like, tease him to be like, oh, hey, look, check out my new clothes, and then, like, he's just basically, like, on the sofa watching wrestling, and, like, not giving a shit about, like,
he's like,
her clothes.
He's like, what are you wearing? Or is why are you wearing?
I don't
that?
Even think he really acknowledged it. Even like, he was just like watching the TV. And then they showed my favorite shot of that whole show was the scene of their cat. Like, the cat.
I don't even remember what that shot was of the cat.
The cat had like a look that looked up that he was like, what the hell are you wearing, Natalia?
Well, so the cat noticed, but not
yeah,
Tom.
Like, the cat actually gave her more attention than her boyfriend. But then, so then she's all like, well, TJ, I want to have like a nice, you know, time with you. I want to go on dates with you. I want to do this. So then he, like, the next scene, they show of Natalia basically like, TJ is like, get in the car, I'm gonna take you someplace special, and like, so she thinks it's like this special date or something, you know, romantic. And so, like, he's like, get out of the car. And then when they get out, it turns out that they're just going to, like, City Hall to get married and get a piece of paper. And she's like, this is not what I wanted, you know, like,
he's like, isn't this what you want? You want to get married, here it is.
Like, that I thought was totally scripted. And but then, does that look bad on TJ? Like, do people watch it and they're like, man, well, he's lame? You
yeah,
know?
It looks bad on him.
Like,
they put him in the bad light.
They put him in
a
bad light.
They always put the guy in the bad light.
But then it's like, so then, like, if I didn't know about the background
Guys are looking real bad in Total Divas.
Yeah, exactly. But if I didn't, like, know the background of writing.
Except Naomi's boyfriend.
Like, let's say that I was, like, 16, I didn't yet know the rules of the world, and I was watching Total Divas. Like, I would be like, man, that her TJ sucks. Like, you know, like, and that's where you get those people on the internet that, like, write shit.
Why would TJ, why does TJ suck, though? Why would you say that he sucks?
I personally think that he's probably an okay guy, but I don't think that that was his idea to do that. I think that that's scripted.
Right, he's injured.
But why would he?
So he's focusing on his rehabilitation.
After, like, a 13-year relationship with Natalia, why would he want to just get married at a courthouse? Of course he would want to do something special.
Because if she's bothering him so much, he's like, fine, let's fix it.
Yeah, but I don't think that.
And you can do a ceremony later. Because that's what it is. It's like, you have that, and then there's a ceremony. It doesn't mean you can go to the office.
See, but do you think that TJ, like, really wanted that? Or do you think that that's scripted, that they're just going to use TJ to,
it's
like,
all
play
scripted,
that off? So there you go. What I'm saying is that if I was 16-year-old watching that, yet not yet knowing, like, how people write for TV, like, I would seriously possibly go on a message board or something. Like, I don't really go on message boards, but if I was 16 now, I might. Like, I would be like, oh my god, TJ sucks. Like, that's where you get those type of people.
I'm never gonna love him now.
Like, yeah, I'm just gonna be like, he's the worst one. Like, who wants to get married at the courthouse? You know, like
well, everyone ends up being married at the courthouse soon. They just get
no.
Everyone gets the paper eventually.
You're yeah, but to, some right? people want to have like an actual ceremony.
Maybe he mistranslated.
Maybe I don't he mistranslated. Know. I'm just saying he's.
Remember, then afterwards, he's like, "I'm not even gonna get married to you," and he's like, "What? What's your
Natalia
problem?"
Natalia said that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because she wanted like actual romance. But then they do wrap him up at the end, showing that he like got her roses and like a nice evening.
I'm really wondering who does that though.
Yeah, do you think he really went out and bought the roses, or do you think some PA did?
He got like scattered somebody, the roses. An art director, when he scattered the roses. Hurry up, she's coming here. Or like they're like, wait, don't come in yet.
Exactly.
It's not done.
Actually, I would love.
What are you saying exactly to that? We all know. That's what I'm saying.
No,
that's why
we
it's
all
awesome.
Don't know. We all don't know. That's why I bet. Oh, how much you want to go bet to go on the internet and go on some Total Divas message boards and read what people write? They're gonna write like it's real.
Not everyone knows like the insides and outs of production and stuff. And,
yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Why would they know that?
Again, that whole reference. If I was a 16-year-old watching this show. There's like a lot of things that I'd be like, oh my god, TJ, you suck. You know, like, like I didn't know the ways of the world back then.
The ways of the world.
The ways of the world. So, I mean, I will say it actually is a pretty good show.
Well, there you go.
I'm acknowledging that it is not a bad show.
I enjoy the show. You know, I think it's a fine show. I mean, I'm quite obviously still so annoyed with Irene or whatever that girl that was off of Tough Enough, the first one eliminate the
Funkadactyl,
the other Funkadactyl, the Cameron,
skinny Funkadactyl.
Cameron, who plays Cameron, and like because like I was already annoyed with her back then, and for her to still be here makes me super annoyed. To still be to her, I was like, good, get the fuck off. I hate her. She should never have a job with WWE, and then she gets a job with WWE,
and then she's
a reality. First she was the Funkadactyls, and now and then to see her actual real her personality here is as annoying as I always envisioned it would be. You know, the saying all like the, oh, it's thebomb.com and all that, all those bullshit lines, you know, like, oh, girl, bye, like stuff like that. I'm like, that's exactly the type of people I hate in real life. You know what I mean?
I will tell you somebody who's actually more annoying than her.
And that's probably why she's there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that is why she's there. And I also will say the Funkadactyls have probably like the best job going out there for like a young.
Not the Bellas?
The Bellas are more established, but they don't dance.
They dance on the way out.
Kind of.
They shake their butts.
That's not like a big enough dance.
They did their own. They recorded their own theme song.
They did?
They're the ones who did the vocals on that.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool. I mean, the Bellas have more visibility, so. And we actually saw.
Because there's two of them.
We saw the Bellas at New York Comic Con.
Yeah, we did. No one was talking to them.
Yeah, they did.
This was in between. This was in between that, too.
Yeah, it was like before they got their reality show. You know, it'd be really interesting if they're actually, let's say they could be at New York Comic Con this year.
Yeah.
And they probably will have like a line just because they're on TV.
Well, yeah.
And that works out, you know. But I know somebody who is actually more annoying than Cameron.
Who? Her boyfriend?
No, Shoshana from Girls.
Freaking Shoshana from Girls.
Have you all been watching Lena Dunham's Girls on HBO? I'm telling you right now, I don't have HBO, but
we'll describe the character for people.
But yeah, so we're on season 2 of the DVDs. I think there's like 10 episodes, and we might be around like episode 7 or 8. So there's how many girls are there? There's like 4 girls.
There's 4 girls.
There's
4 girls.
There's 4 girls. One is Hannah, which is played by Lena Dunham. The other's Marnie, which is played by Allison Williams, who is, I know she's Brian Williams, the news anchor's daughter. Then there is the girl, I just call her the hippie girl. Do you know her name?
I have no idea.
No, she's like hippie.
She's the one that talks real fast, like, oh my god, blah, 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 blah. And like, she's trying way hard, right?
But no.
No, you're talking about the other girl.
Yeah, I'm talking about the hippie girl that... Like,
I feel like I've actually seen her.
She
in
actually
other stuff.
Talks with like some type of accent, and she's all like, "I'm so fancy, and I could be from Australia, but I'm not sure where I'm from." But anyway, but Shoshana is like probably I would say the fourth girl. Like the show doesn't really focus on her as much, and from what I've read about Girls, she actually wasn't supposed to be as major of a character as she actually is right now.
What was she supposed to be?
She was supposed to be like, you know, a side. a very much a side character.
I mean, she is a side character.
Like, she still is, but she was supposed to be more of a side character. Like, she wasn't even supposed to be one of, like, the four girls.
But four is such a better round, though.
Yeah. I think she... But do you see what I'm saying? Like, she wasn't intended to be that much prominent. But anyway, so
she's
there's...
She's like a Ben.
Yeah, there's, like, a fourth girl, and her name is Sashana. She, in the beginning of the series, was a virgin, and she was making a big deal about how she was a virgin. But I didn't really see that much of a problem with it, because she was in her, like, early 20s. She was the youngest one.
She's still going to school, too, in the show, right?
Yeah, she's the youngest one. And she basically, like, is a dreamer. Like, at first when you meet her, like, I didn't have a problem with her first season at all, actually. I didn't dislike her during first season. But she has, like, in her mindset, like, I'm in New York, and I'm gonna act like Sex and the City, and this is how everything should be, and you're Samantha. You know, and she just, like, characterizes everything by Sex and the City.
And I didn't really have any problem with this character at all. Like, I thought she was actually a really strong, like, an enjoyable character the first season of Girls. But then she had that Kickstarter.
That's in real life, though.
No, that's what I'm saying. For me, then she had that Kickstarter. Then after that, after she had that Kickstarter, I was like, man, I don't really agree. Because, like, she's like, yeah, the Kickstarter is just for a reason for us to be together and make music. You know, and be like, have more time together.
So the reason is you need to get paid by other people.
Yeah, and then she's like, you gotta pay us so we can have our lives. And I saw that, and I was like, that is really just like taking full advantage of who you are, or even your some sort of status. And then for me, that continued on to the show. So my annoyance continued on, because you still heard her voice and the way she sounded, that perception still continued on to this new season. So now, in that break, I had a different vision of how she is. And now everything, since I was annoyed with that, everything she did in this show became even more annoying.
So we can go down two paths this way. Like, I can talk about girls and Kickstarter, but I will throw in about the Kickstarter thing. Yes, her Kickstarter was annoying, but I have come to terms. Like, personally, I've had a back and forth with Kickstarter, even with myself. I'm like, should I start one? Should I not have one? You know, I've had, like, a love-hate relationship with Kickstarter, and what it comes really down to is the simple fact that whoever gives whoever money, like, let's say there's a Kickstarter campaign that's controversial. Like, for example, Veronica Mars was semi-controversial, even though it was
very
much...
Why was that controversial?
It was a super success, but I know of online of several people that commented saying, like, oh, why does Veronica Mars need money? You know, these are all...
It goes to the production, though, right?
Hey, you know, we could argue back and forth all day, but what I'm getting at is that some people might be upset that established people are turning to Kickstarter to raise money. And in the case of this character from Girls, Shoshana from Girls, in her real life, asking for money for her music to do with her sister, which I'm like, really, is it that hard to, like, be like, oh, I want to do music with my sister? you know, like, it's
I do understand how hard it is to get people in a room and be like, hey, let's make music.
Yeah.
I guess people being paid for is a great incentive.
It's like, wow, we actually have people paying us to do it. So I get that. But then at the same time, you know, like, on one hand, you can get upset, I guess, like, at people who have a TV show. Like, let's say, you know, she's an actor in a TV show. It looks like she has a career going on.
She has a job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's giving her money.
And then she's asking for people to, like, pay her to, like, play music with her sister. And why can't she just do that on her own, you know? So there's things that I definitely have an issue with that's questionable. But what I've come to terms with is I don't have to donate. You don't have to donate.
Yeah.
If whoever does want to donate, let's say someone is a major fan of Girls and they love Shoshana and they love her character, and that's how they know her by, and they're like, oh, I want to listen to her music, okay? And that's fine, and that person can give them money as long as they know what's in store for them, and there's all those rewards on the side, you know, if they want a t-shirt, if they want an album, if they, you know, whatever the rewards are. So I guess what I've come down to, although it is annoying when sometimes celebrities ask for money on Kickstarter, I feel like you don't have to give. It's like with anything. There might be a radio station you don't like, you don't have to listen to it. No one's forcing you to.
But see, this situation was unique for me because usually I try not to have real life scenarios or real life, like, you know, the lives of the actors, like, have an effect on me for when enjoying the show.
Yeah.
But there was a point where I was watching the show and I was like, God, I can't I literally just want to punch her in the face because of, like, I can't see it now. I can't see, like, the, is this a character? Oh, this is the whole thing. It just became, it just, like, it literally was instrumental in me being purposely now taking this sort of what people would say adorable character and now making it really annoying.
See, now with me personally,
it's like when people can't get into Woody Allen for some reason because of his life. Yeah. I can see past that, but for some reason, this girl having a Kickstarter and
see,
just
and Woody Allen had more damage, I think, than a Kickstarter.
But like for some reason, I just can't let this. I mean, it probably will fade away later on, but I'm just like, when I look at her, I just want to punch her in the face, kick the screen, you know? I don't, that's just how it was.
And also, like, for example, Spike Lee is having a Kickstarter. I don't know if it ended yet, but he put out a Kickstarter for his next film. And he was basically saying that he did, in a way, you know, I'm not trying to put words in his mouth, but he was implying that he did a Kickstarter several years before for Do the Right Thing. He went around asking for money from Oprah, from, you know, a lot of, like, the black power players, you know, back in the day. And they paid him. And you know, that's fine. They can choose to do what they want to do with their money.
I feel like it's different for him to do that back then for Do the Right Thing.
Yeah.
That you didn't have Kickstarter. You didn't have internet. It wasn't a thing.
And he was only asking Oprah.
But also, back then, it wasn't like, for me, when I view it, for people to hustle for money back then and sort of like a door to door or a phone to phone or a handshake, it wasn't like a thing. It wasn't like a phrase people can use now. It wasn't something like how people are like, oh, I'm going to post this on Facebook, or when they take a photo of Facebook, or put this up on YouTube, or have you seen my Kickstarter? It wasn't a thing. Because when he did that, that was like, it felt like he really needed that. It wasn't just, let's jump on this opportunity.
And he was asking people.
I guess, yeah. And I guess this is not Indiegogo, which is another sort of like Kickstarter, but for films.
Indiegogo is, I think, not only for films. The main difference, from what I know, is basically, like, you raise whatever amount you raise, you get.
Yeah.
Automatically. Like, let's say you do a whole campaign and you only make $5. Well, you get that $5. The thing with Kickstarter is you set a limit. Like, you say, hey, I want to make $1,000.
I mean,
if you make $999, you don't get anything.
My producer friend Capella, she used that for the Everyman's Journey documentary. Mm-hmm. She used Indiegogo for that, you know, and it worked out.
So yeah, maybe Indiegogo is possibly a better way to go because it's like, well, at least you get what people already want to give you.
And also Spike Lee, he just got done filming Old Boy. That's not no cheap movie. So it's almost like let's do a grassroots thing.
Well, then how come you're okay with someone like the name value of Spike Lee asking the people for money?
I don't think Spike Lee needs to do that.
And also, I haven't heard it yet, but apparently Kevin Smith had some. Obviously, he's very vocal. Kevin Smith will also be at Baltimore Comic Con. Another reason to go.
Both him and Jason Mewes.
Yeah, and also check out Curl's studio at Table A99 in Artist Alley.
But see, like for Spike Lee to do it. It's fine that he does it, but it's obviously taking advantage of the system.
Yeah, and also, like, well, Kevin Smith at one point, I guess, was pro-Kickstarter, but I guess once the Spike Lee thing came out and stuff, I haven't heard it with my own ears, but I heard on the internet that he did say, I guess via his podcast, he did say that he had some qualms with, like, Spike Lee asking for money that point.
I mean, if Spike Lee's going to be doing that, because, you know, we all know Spike Lee can't pay for anything. I mean, like, let's trade in those front row seats to Knicks and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, how much is that? But at the end of the day, it's like, where does the line stop? If you have Spike Lee doing that, it's like, okay, let's have the government start a Kickstarter, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean...
A national Kickstarter to have nations kick into it.
See, but that's the thing that I still have that love-hate relationship with Kickstarter. Because on one end, it's like, oh, cool, people need... They want to do that project. That's awesome that whoever, Spike Lee or whoever, wants to do that project.
It's almost like they need a welfare check if you want to do that. It's like,
that's what makes me not even want to do the Kickstarter, too. You know, because it's like, I want to ask people for money because there's certain things that up front, like, for example, to print a color book, you really need like $3,000 up front to like really front that, like, and get like a decent enough quantity to go through a tour.
It's like, do I need to start a Kickstarter for my shirt company, you know?
Yeah, like,
know.
But the thing is like, some people do. Some people...
Is that legal,
and then
though? I don't know.
It is legal. You still have to pay taxes on it.
But like,
though.
Yeah, but like, do I still say I need this much and then I just sell it? It feels weird. Because I always thought like Kickstarter was sort of like a nonprofit.
You're giving them there's no nonprofit. What it is a, it's not even called a donation. It's a pledge. But the thing is you have to reward these people. So if you start a shirt company, there's different levels of what you owe somebody. Like they want to get a shirt. And then there's a certain level, and then you mail them the shirt.
Maybe if I do a Kickstarter with that, I can have like people who, if they do donate, they'll get like a print and it's signed by like the model or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, but that's why you put in those special things. It's like the name implies it's kickstarting whatever project you want to do. But what I'm saying is like for my like I would love to do a Curls book in color, but you really need like $3,000, and like that's something that it's like why should that come necessarily from my pocket to begin with? Do you see what I'm saying? Like I could invest my own, but do I really want to do that when I can have like fans automatically getting the book from me?
Yeah.
So there's like good reasons for Kickstarter, but then there's like you have to plan it out properly and make sure that you actually break even on it. Because some people actually lose money on it because they don't factor in like mailing and like getting the boxes and like postage. They don't factor in some of these things, but there's a lot to think about. Plus promoting it. I don't know. Like I definitely have a love-hate relationship with it. I guess when it comes down to it, I like it. I do approve of it. But I think some people are definitely working the system. And
if people are giving out money, take it, right?
Yeah.
Because this recession.
And then that's the other thing. Like I've contributed to probably like 8 Kickstarters and I never felt bad about it. So I'm like, why am I feeling bad about other people giving me money? Like I've donated to other people's and been like, oh cool, I got their book and I got this and I supported them, you know? But like, why, how come I just don't get that, you know? Like how come like when I flip it on me, I'm like, I don't want to ask people for money. I don't want to be like a charity case.
Because you want to earn that spot.
Yeah.
You want someone to discover you and be like, here you go, and just take care of it. Because you know for a fact with the Kickstarter, it's just like any other contest at certain points, and then you got to start hustling. Hey, you know, it's almost like the promotional front again.
Definitely. I mean, I don't mind doing that, but I kind of want to go the old school way, but I definitely see how Kickstarter is revolutionizing everything.
But also, just because...
At the same time, it's oversaturating.
At the same time, it's like, okay, Kickstarter will get your book made. Will it get it in the stores, though?
No.
But it will get it into people's hands.
Yes. So that's a good thing.
There's those trade-offs, you know?
Yeah. But I just don't know about, like, name value people doing... Because even Zach Braff did it, and apparently he got a lot of heat from going on Kickstarter, too. Because everyone's like, everyone's heard of Zach Braff, but apparently, like, you know, he's probably not making as much money as everyone thinks.
Or he is.
Or, I don't know.
I don't know how much money people think they're getting.
And also, you know, here's another thing.
But Zach has a lot of residuals coming through.
Well, maybe, like... Here's another thing. Maybe he wanted to make something independently and he didn't want to have some corporation telling him what to do.
Maybe he just doesn't want to spend his own money. Maybe that's really what it comes down to.
Do you think that's kind of lame? Because then at the same hand, we have Joss Whedon, who during the strike went out and filmed his own stuff with his own money.
Yeah, with his own money. And everyone made a profit off of that.
That's like super respectable, but then it's like, well, you don't see Joss Whedon going on Kickstarter. He's like, I'm just going to use my own money.
Well, he used his own money, but also pulled in his own favors, too. It was all like a lot of favors, you know?
Yeah. Well, he's working his connections because he's earned those connections over several years.
Yeah, but also let's think about this. Writer's strike is happening. No one is working. Joss Whedon, huge name, well-renowned, well-respected. I have a project. Who wants to do something?
Everyone raises their hand.
Yeah. You know what I mean? There's that great moment like, well, if I'm not going to do anything, I at least want to do something cool.
If anything, that like helped his career.
Changed.
And he basically like, he went into another stratosphere because like that's when people started really hearing about him.
Dude, that thing changed.
Mainstream.
That's one of the things how I almost wanted to build. I wanted to build one-shots like that. One-shots was so inspired in a sense by Dr. Harbaugh's sing-along blog. Just like, it's coming out this time. This time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wish I can build that, but I'm not a big-ass name like he is yet.
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 Check out one-shots.com to see all Joe's short films.
But, like, that's how I saw it. I saw what he did, Dr. Harbaugh's sing-along blog. That was the moment where I was like, do I need a festival?
No.
You know what I mean? It's like, do I... You go to festivals, and Cooney's going to festivals all the time because that's what he is. He's that's what he does. And like whenever I hear any stories about these festivals now, it's just a whole bunch of people getting drunk. I got so drunk. This is a whole drunk festival weekend. I was like, and I told Cooney, I was like, well, that sounds just like comic book conventions. Everyone's just drinking and, you know,
drink
and draw, film and drink and stuff like that. And I was like, well, I don't
what
really...
is film and drink?
I don't
do
know.
They, do
never
people have
know.
Like cameras and they're filming and they're like, yeah, I'm drunk.
I don't know, but I always found that so lame anyway. But like, that's what people do.
Well, that's the like social gathering of adults, I've realized. It's like, I mean, it's fine. I'm not gonna go against it. People, I guess they feel like this is the one time everyone in the industry is together. Might as well like have a party.
Yeah.
Like this isn't time to have like a hardcore meeting and like discuss. I mean, I'm sure that happens later, but that's where you meet people, and that's where like I feel like, you know, really people don't care as much what you do. They more care about like if they like you, or if they can work you.
What you can do. What's but, the like, hustle? What's your hustle? What's your Heyman hustle?
What they can get from you.
And hopefully I can get a lot of stuff for people. You know what I mean? That's the goal. I guarantee I can make great things happen.
It's like,
for
who
people.
Can work the system?
I don't think there's one person that I have worked with that I cannot take to the next level.
That's for sure. You
that
definitely
is my
like
goal.
Upgrade everything.
That is my goal for everyone I've ever worked with or anything I've ever talked to. And if I'm all serious about it, I'm not about repeating. I'm about taking the next step forward about anything. Even a small step, a step forward. And that's what I want to do with everyone I work with. You know?
Yeah. That's a good goal. But back to what I was saying
about...
Are you
talking about girls?
That's what I was going to get to. For So apparently that character from Girls, Shoshana, you know, we went off on the Kickstarter tirade, which is the reason why Joe started not liking that character. But for me personally, I already start... Well, I guess like the first few episodes of season two, like I thought she was still okay. And I don't know when it all changed, but all of a sudden she just started getting really annoying sounding.
You know why?
Why?
Because literally, because in the beginning of the season, beginning of the first season,
okay.
Or season two, beginning of her character's run, so to speak, in Girls, Shoshana was just first acting, like she was trying to act, she was trying to put up an act like how she thought people were supposed to act.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then already seeing that, we were already annoyed with those people. But we thought it was just funny because she's pretending,
yeah.
Right? But then as the days and as the show and episodes go by, there's a point where she stops pretending, and she becomes that annoying person.
She becomes it.
Yeah. So you know the more because there's that saying. I don't even know if I coined the saying, but you become what you pretend. That's why when
you
I
are
was,
what you eat.
Yeah. Or it's, no. Yeah. You are what you eat. But you know. But also at the same time, you do morph into what you pretend to. And once like in high school or college, I started thinking that. I was like, wow, a person, if they pretend to be an asshole, then sooner or later they become that asshole. And I was like, well, why don't I just pretend to be smart and a genius? And then sooner or later it'll happen. You know what I mean? And I'm still working on that.
You're
but I feel
genius.
Like that's a way to go. And I think that's why that's what happened to her.
That is possibly what happened. Cause I don't know exactly when the breaking point was, but all of a sudden she was just talking really fast and she's like, oh my God, guys.
Yeah. Because
like,
she just morphed into it.
But then she started like, oh, I think this is when it really hit. When she started, like, abbreviating words, she would never pronounce the whole thing. She's just like, oh my God, this fab.
Sort of
or
like...
Or she'll be like, oh my God, I have feels.
So basically, the East Coast version of Schmidt.
I like Schmidt, though. He's still kind
he's
of
more,
adorable.
He's appealing, right?
Yeah.
But she became
he's
less
not
appealing.
Annoying. Schmidt is not annoying. He's more of like... And I totally get that he's playing a character. You know? Like, whereas girls... I know that they're characters as well, but you can feel more attached to them because it feels more realistic. Whereas like New Girl isn't, it can have some realism, but it's comedy.
I always feel it's funny that people, even during the shoot this last week, people were saying like, oh, this is like Girls seems real. For some reason, when I watch Girls, I don't think it doesn't feel real to me.
Really?
I
think it feels more real than New Girl.
I think it's shot real.
Uh-huh.
And I think there's situations that are probably based on reality, but it's not like watching kids. Like, you know, there's certain things. I don't know. Maybe I just work in it. I'm like, of course it's not real, but it's like it's a fabricated real. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, definitely. But like with Shoshana, I think like when she started cutting the words, like cutting the syllables and words, I think that's when she got really annoying for me. And then that's when you mentioned Kickstarter.
And then it all came together.
And then I was just like, ugh, Shoshana. Like, she went from, like, a kind of... I wouldn't say adorable, but she went from, like, a...
She turned into Cameron from Total Divas.
Actually worse than Cameron.
Yeah.
I'd take Cameron over Shoshana.
She went into that territory, basically.
Yeah, and I think like every reality show nowadays seems like they need to have some type of really annoying character. Well, they just gotta, to have people gotta, to talk about. What do you think we're doing right now?
You need that structure. You still need the good guys, bad guys, annoying people, and stuff like that. And anyone who can produce that is WWE, you know. And Lena Dunham's good at creating like those characters because she's probably met them.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm sure they're based off of people that she's met in real life. I feel like she does derive so much from
I think
her life.
As a writer, everyone has to draw, to experience, and then to have an outlet for it. And that's what, you know, writing comes about. I mean, like, Lords of the Rings was probably brought up somewhere in someone's life, you know, something they wished happened. So that's where these things come from. Yeah. It's like someone was trying to steal something of his.
F you, Debbie.
That's from This Is 40, when that Asian girl...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She's like, screw you, Debbie.
I actually hated that part. Like, when she turned into, like, some demon or something.
Oh, yeah.
That was like... I think that girl's annoying, too.
You know, girls do that voice now. And the first time I ever heard that was from Sorority Girls. Or that movie with Anna Faris. When she was doing the... Okay. Like... She would try to remember someone's name. And now I see a lot of girls do that. I hear a lot of girls do that. It's a thing.
That's like the next Cali girl.
Yeah.
Will be like...
Demon voice.
Demon voice girl. Like when someone walks away from them and they hate them, they're just like, F you, Debbie.
Rest in peace, 930 guy. 930 club guy.
Yes.
I've met you at every single 930 club show.
I have a photo. He's like in... He's like in all my photos that I take with bands. He's like in the background.
Yeah.
His name is Josh.
Remember he had crazy ass loops. What's it called?
The ears.
Yeah.
So rest in peace, Josh. You are a 930 Club institution.
Yes. Hopefully they'll make a plaque or whatever. Do a show. They'll probably have a show.
Tribute show.
And that's today's show, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you enjoyed it. Tune again next week. Post Baltimore Comic Con. Maybe we should try to do something. This show is brought to you by AstrayProductions.com. Astray Productions. Check out my work at 1-shots.com, goastray.tumblr.com, and joecarabeo.com. What do you got, Carolyn?
Check out my comic strip Curls at curls-studio.com, and check out the blog too, because I have a whole bunch of stuff that's coming up this fall involving Joe and I at Artisphere and Baltimore Comic Con next weekend, and then Small Press Expo the following weekend, and then New York Comic Con is next month. It's just an explosion in your mouth and in your eyes.
Yes. All
over.
And
in your brain.
All over. All over you. All over
you. A creative Curl Studio explosion.
Yes.
Blow your mind.
Exactly.
Blow your brains out.
My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Be excellent to each other. We will catch you later. Send them home, Carolyn.
Laters.